Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
That's enough of that girl. Good choice, Bob.
Howard and David Bellamy. The Bellamy boys.
Okay.
I saw them in Fort Worth.
The
night before the Dallas-Green Bay playoff game in probably January of 82? 83? 83, I guess it would be. Howard and David. Liked them ever since. That was at Billy Bob's, Texas.
So when a girl's going to show me the weekend moon, what does that mean? What is that insinuating there?
I'm not going to discuss the lyrics. They're open to interpretation, huh, Ty? Do you have one?
Maybe she just wants to show me the Weekend Moon. I don't know what that means. They're not my band.
They're good old boys. I don't know.
Have you ever dated a redneck girl?
No, I have not. I can't say that.
Well, if you ever, that song will get you in the mood. Good little jingle. Not a bad choice.
Thanks, Ty.
You've had some questionable country music selections, though.
Mr. Ray Price. You didn't like that one.
Which, by at the Grammys, they talk about all the musicians who died the past year. They mentioned Ray Price.
Wow.
I thought of you. Do you watch the Grammys at all?
I taped it. I'm going to watch it.
Really?
Yeah, probably tonight with my wife, yeah.
Do you know who Daft Punk is?
I have no idea.
Well, Bob, there are two guys that were robot heads, I guess you could say, from France. They've been around forever. Electro pop. They work the stereo. They mix it up. All right, let me just play you a little bit.
Yeah.
Let me just play it. Here you go. All right, so their big song was Get Lucky. This isn't one of their big ones, but I think this is one of their better ones. Random Access Memories, big album this year with Pharrell. They don't sing. They just work in the background. You like it? Were you a disco guy?
No. 10 minutes, I'd be late for the door.
Right, I see a bob in her head.
Daft Punk, yeah. DP. Mm-hmm.
A little, yeah. DP.
Techno.
It is. All right, let's go ahead in the song. See? Yeah. All right, well, anyways, they won a bunch of awards at the Grammys. So when you watch your... Is it like when you tape a Michigan game? Do you got your roster out? Are you replaying things? What's it like when you're watching the Grammys?
Well, many times my daughter Maggie and her husband, the musician Chris Dame, they come over and tell us what it's all about.
That's right.
They know everything in the music game. So yeah.
Gosh, that's right. You have your daughter, one of the best singers in Green Bay,
and Chris Dame, one of the top guitar men in the Midwest.
Absolutely. Yep. They are fantastic.
So they tell us, yeah.
All right. Well, we talked about the Super Bowl on our last podcast. And just so we didn't really crowd things and cut things short, we wanted to make it really two separate ones. And so this podcast, we're going to talk about the Senior Bowl. First look at the draft, break a few things down. And believe it or not, it's draft season, Bob. And this is your time of year, too, where you really talk to these scouts and get a look ahead. So... I was just down in Mobile a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Had a chance to watch some of these guys. Ted Thompson, all the Packer scouts are down there. And we've talked about it, but it is a pretty interesting scene at the Senior Bowl.
Well, I've only been there once, Tyler, and that was a long 25 years ago. So why don't you describe the scene? I mean, back then it was like a coaching convention. Assistant coaches, not only and as well as head coaches, but I mean, every staff was down there. Is it like that now, or is it more just scouts from each organization?
Yeah, every team differs. There were a lot of staffs down there. I know the Chicago Bears had their staff down there. Mm-hmm. The two Senior Bowls that I've gone to, two Senior Bowl weeks that I've gone to, Green Bay has not sent their coaching staff.
Okay.
It was just Thompson, the scouts, Russ Ball. He was down there as well. And, yeah, I mean, so I guess it's a team-to-team thing. There were a lot of head coaches there at practice. But, yeah, Green Bay doesn't bring their down. It just kind of varies. And the thing that's really interesting is a lot of the coaches you see down there are coaches who have been fired or probably will be fired or college coaches who were let go. It's just a networking haven for a lot of these guys to find jobs. And we were just talking about it before we went on air. I think Chris Boniel was just hired as a special teams assistant by Oakland or somebody, and I saw him down there. So there's just, you know, Greg Robinson, the former Syracuse coach, who's been fired a few times in his day. We've talked to him the last 2 years. He's been down there. So it's really interesting. I mean, so, you know, there's agents, obviously a lot of agents, a lot of scouts, a lot of people around the league, all in tiny little Mobile, Alabama. You know, it's about as south as it gets, and all of a sudden there's a stadium right there in town.
That 1 year I was there, Tom Coughlin had just been, was part of Forrest Gregg's staff that got let go in January of 88. And Coughlin was there with his hat in his hand looking for a job.
Is that right?
And just look at it. I mean, he became, a few years later, he got a job with Parcells right then the next year, won a Super Bowl, then went to Jacksonville and on and on, and two more Super Bowls in the Giants, yeah.
That's interesting.
They all have to network. They all go through it at one point in their career if you want to stay in the business a long time.
I mean, just think of the life of an assistant coach. I mean, especially even at the college level. I mean, security, it's a year-to-year deal. All these people have families, and at any moment they could be let go, and they have to reset, recharge, and find a job, turn it around pretty quickly.
I talked to Paris Lennon at the Super Bowl, and after his, I mean, this might have been his final game. He's 36. And he said, yeah, it could be. I said, do you want to coach, Paris? You'd probably be a natural because you're so instinctive and all. He's no. He's just too much of a grind, man. Yeah. He wants to be a trainer, you know, work at one of these workout facilities and do that. But these coaching lives, these coaching careers are brutal.
Really is.
These guys work, man.
It is. But, and then, you know, every day, all these seniors are out there practicing. It's a good chance for teams to get a first look at these prospects. I guess overall, it wasn't as talented of a group as it has been in years past. I mean, a record number of early entries going into the draft has something to do with it. I think 9 seniors backed out or didn't accept invitations to the game that didn't even have injuries, including A.J. McCarron, who's from Mobile. I mean, think about that. That would have been a heck of a get for you know, Phil Savage and everybody who works at this game. But he didn't even... You know, they're afraid of hurting their draft stock. I mean, you get out there at practice, and, you know, A.J. McCarron, his big selling point is going to be he's a gamer. He's a winner. Pretty much everything that plays in your top 25 quarterback rankings, winning games, right, Bob? But, no, he wasn't down there.
You know, there were other first-round seniors who declined? Is that kind of
the... Yeah, I know C.J. Mosley, the linebacker for Alabama, wasn't there either. I mean, he's an in-state guy, too. That declined. But the other side of it, look, you can help yourself this week.
Absolutely.
You can really help yourself. I think Chris Borland, who we'll talk about, Wisconsin linebacker, so many questions about this guy's height. For all of these scouts to see him up close for a full week in this environment, he had a really good week. James White, same thing, Wisconsin running back. But Russell Wilson played in this game 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, boy, you have to talk about a GM who's probably kicking himself, Bob, Rick Spielman. The Minnesota Vikings, they had their whole coaching staff at this game. Now, there's NFL coaching staffs coach the North and the South.
Oh, yeah.
So this year it was Jacksonville and Atlanta. So, you know, that's kind of an advantage. They get to see these guys work day in and day out. But, yeah, the Vikings had their staff down there with Russell Wilson, so they saw all those intangibles we talked about on our last podcast. They saw that it factor that so many teams probably didn't pick up on in the 15-minute combine interviews. But they had just taken Christian Ponder. I guess they thought he was their guy. They didn't really want to take a chance on Russell Wilson. So they loved him. They absolutely loved him. You talk to people in Minneapolis. They say that they were blown away by Wilson, and they didn't take him. He fell in the third round. So there is definitely a lot of benefits to players playing in this game and people being down there watching them.
So at practice, do they use high school fields or college fields?
Right, there's two fields. Lad People Stadium, which is where South Alabama plays. They have a bowl game down there. I think it's like the GoDaddy.com Bowl or something.
Okay.
But that's the main field that both teams practice on.
Okay.
Almost the whole week. But the first day and the last day, one of the teams practices at Fairhope Municipal Stadium. It's like a high school field, which is actually about 35 minutes away, or about half hour away. And they practice there as well. It's just a little more intimate, but yeah, it's a cool environment and a good chance to get a look at these guys. And in Wisconsin, usually we're talking about linemen, a linebacker. They had skill position players there in White, Aberderis, and then Borland at linebacker. It's a good chance to see them. But yeah, as far as Green Bay is concerned, I guess we can start with the Packers.
Sure.
And we're gonna be talking about this a lot for the next couple months. Needs. I think you start at safety. And do they address it in free agency or the draft? Gut instinct, what do you think?
Well, you saw some senior safeties, probably eight guys maybe. I know it's not a real good year. The underclassmen from Alabama, Clinton Dix, probably is the best. I'm so far behind right now. I got Ian's a work to do. I saw him in the bowl game, and I kind of liked what I saw just off TV. So I don't know. Were there any? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I guess of the senior safeties that were there, did a story on it. If you're Green Bay, you probably want a playmaker, somebody who's been around the ball. That's what they did not have last year. So you look at someone like Jimmy Ward, who's from Mobile, went to Northern Illinois, Northern Illinois, seven interceptions last year. Not a tall, big, physically imposing guy, and he didn't really have that one splash play that I can point to and think of, but through the course of the week, he was actually named the most outstanding defensive back, was around the ball, seemed like he belonged. That's probably what teams wanted to see from somebody who wasn't necessarily at an SEC caliber of school. He could be an option, maybe second, third, fourth round. I don't know where he'd fall, but probably in that range. Buchanan out of Washington State, I didn't really cover a lot in college. People say he really wasn't that great covering in space. That's probably a concern, but he had one hit on special teams in one drill, just laid somebody out. And that's another kind of neat thing about these practices. I mean, there's a lot of contact. They really set up these drills to simulate NFL type of plays. I mean, a lot of one-on-one pass rushing drills, a lot of one-on-one situations with wide receivers and DBs. So you get to see how these guys operate.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Ladler out of Vanderbilt, he's somebody who learned from Casey Hayward and Sean Richardson at Vanderbilt. He told me that Hayward really kind of taught him when to take a chance in coverage, when to gamble. Had a lot of turnovers. He had 10 turnovers last year at Vanderbilt, 5 interceptions, 5 forced fumbles. But he's another one of those players who probably takes too many chances. And as we know, Darren Perry, Joe Witt, these coaches, they want players who aren't going to stray from the scheme too much. I don't know if he's really going to be an option. But looking at the position as a whole, you know, I think that probably Calvin Pryor, you know, out of Louisville, he's a junior, early entry. He's a guy that you have to look at if you're Green Bay. Talking to his defensive coordinator or secondary coach at Louisville, Vance Bedford, who's now at Texas, he said that, you know, 3 games in a row, Pryor knocked somebody out of a game. Like, the player didn't even finish. I mean, he's a big hitter, but he also mentally handled a lot in their defense. Had to make a lot of the calls, a lot of the checks. Bedford coached DBs in Chicago when they had Mike Brown, Vasher. They had some decent DBs that year. They were 13-3 in 2001, I believe. Forced all those turnovers. He said basically that Pryor is a bigger Mike Brown. And Mike Brown was a really good safety.
Yes, he was.
So maybe Pryor is an option.
You're thinking
late first or second round.
So he's like Clinton Dix, maybe in that range.
He could be.
Your guess is.
Think about last year. I mean, this is a valued position where Vaccaro went pretty high to the Saints, and then you know Green Bay had a chance at Matt Elam and Cyprian, right?
Yeah.
Passed on both of them.
Jones, right?
And they took Dayton Jones. So.
This is Florida State prior?
Louisville.
Louisville, I'm sorry.
Louisville.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So here's a
little behind, Ty.
That's all right. this is what Bedford told me. He said that's how the game used to be played. He did things the right way, and that's what people like about him so much. And he's a coach on the field, high football IQ. He controls everything, gets guys lined up, makes the checks. He does it all. He said he's going to miss him down in Texas where he is now. So I don't know. I guess that's just kind of a cross-section of the position. I have a feeling that Clinton Dix is probably going to go before Green Bay picks unless they trade up, because that's just how the safety position works in the draft. Maybe it might go a little higher than you think. I don't know. It's early. I mean, here we're talking about the draft, and it's February 5th. So we'll see. A lot can happen from now until then. Leroy Butler, sorry, I pronounced his name wrong there. Leroy was down there with me as well, and he thinks that Green Bay should go the free agency route at safety, that a veteran would really help Morgan Burnett out, kind of capitalize on the potential he has. Kind of agree with him. Hmm.
Hyde could be shifted there, certainly.
Hyde could be moved to safety, right?
Richardson will be around. We don't know if Jennings will get a tender. And Banjo, I assume they'll re-sign him as an exclusive guy, and he'll be back. So it could be Hyde as well. Veteran makes sense. I have no idea. Nobody knows what the crop's going to look like 5 weeks from now when UFA starts.
That's true.
People are going to start getting cut now this week.
Yeah, I guess that group hasn't really taken shape yet. Right. But just eyeballing it. You know better than me. It seemed like it's a lot better group than last year. Mm-hmm. And last year, talking to people around the NFL, the Packers didn't really seem that interested in those safeties.
In anybody?
Right. Yeah. Didn't seem like it. You have to do something different. Something didn't work. All right, well, also down in Mobile, like he did last year, Ted Thompson gave me a few minutes of his time. So just, you know, asked him a lot of those questions that fans are asking in the wake of that playoff loss to San Francisco. So if you didn't read the story, we can just review it here a little bit.
Sure.
Just asked him what the plan was this offseason, how they're going to kind of go about it. He said, sounds simple, try to make the team better every year. Don't know specifically what that entails, but they look every avenue. And so basically the question is this the year you dive into free agency? And he said, quote, if an opportunity presents itself and it helps us be better, then yes. But I think that doing it for the sake of doing it is a waste of time and energy. If we get the opportunity, if it presents itself and makes sense for the club with the way we put things together, we're going to do it. We've done it in the past. We try to do it selectively. They haven't done it often in the past, Bob. I mean, let's go back. Anthony Hargrove, Daniel Muir.
Yeah, Muir was
Mulligan.
Street. The last guy, he was a decent street defensive player in UFA was Chiller, Brandon Chiller, the linebacker. And he turned out. He's pretty good until he wrecked his shoulder, maybe.
Right.
Something. He played pretty good football. He was a good cover linebacker. And prior to that, you go back to Woodson and Pickett, which certainly should give Ted all the confidence in the world that he can conquer this avenue.
So the challenge that Ted Thompson faces here is he doesn't have a lot of excess money to spend with those big deals to Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews, at least for the next several years. Those are two players that are going to be making a lot of dough. And then you have a lot of your own free agents to address now, and you have to pay the right guys. Sam Shields, B.J. Raji, James Jones, JerMichael Finley, Evan Dietrich Smith, John Kuhn, Mike Neal. Who am I forgetting here, Bob?
I don't know. C.J. Wilson. I mean, Ryan
Pickett. Yeah. There's so many decisions they have to make right now. And that next contract that they give somebody, he has to nail. I mean, overpaying somebody or that player not working out, a core player not working out, would really backfire for him in this front office. Is there a player out of those guys I just mentioned that stands out to you that you say he's indispensable, that they cannot lose this free agent?
No. No. They got depth at corner. They got some big people in the middle with Boyd now. I don't see an indispensable guy, do you? On their 17? Dietrich Smith, no.
I think it'd be awfully difficult to replace Sam Shields, though, at corner. I mean, if you have to start over there and at one of the safety positions.
You got Hayward. You got House. Nixon can run. You got this role guy who Joe Witt's high on. I don't know.
I guess they haven't seen Casey Hayward work outside a ton yet, and he was such a playmaker inside. Wouldn't you want him to stay there? I mean, these are things we're probably going to get into as the offseason progresses, but we'll see.
Yeah. I just don't think they have to break the bank for Sam Shields, but, you know.
You don't?
No, not really, no.
Tremont Williams making too much money? Is he going to have to restructure?
The way he played down those last 8-9 games, if he gets cut, he'll have the job tomorrow. I mean, I don't think he has to really be, doesn't have to take his, come in on bended knee.
Yeah, sure, gave himself a lot of leverage down the stretch.
He did.
Started with that Giants game, really.
He knew when to do it, yep.
All right, well, just while we're talking about the Senior Bowl here, too, I think it's worth mentioning a couple conversations I had with defensive coaches across the league. You know, there's a lot of different defensive minds down there in Mobile, some of the best in the business. And Dom Capers, let's face it, he's one of the more polarizing people here in the state of Wisconsin with fans. And after another playoff loss, there were a lot of outsiders who thought Green Bay should hit the reset button. The defensive coordinator, Mike McCarthy, basically said the same thing he said after Green Bay lost at San Francisco last year. They're sticking with Capers, sticking with his staff, although Kevin Green obviously left. But anyways, just saw Dick LeBeau watching practice. So we watched some practice together and just started talking to him a little bit about Dom Capers. And obviously they worked together for a few years. What Capers does defensively is what Dick LeBeau does, the fire zone scheme, the 3-4. And I'll just read some of his comments here. He said, quote, "He's as good a football coach as anybody. I don't care who you're talking about. He is, in my opinion." But the big takeaway, or one of the big takeaways, I think, from Mobile and talking to him and Jason Gilden, he was down there as well. He played in that same scheme. Mm-hmm. They really say you have to have those two outside linebackers, the two pass rushers, because if you don't, it tilts the entire defense. But overall, I mean, the sense you get talking to LeBeau, Romeo Crennel, Gus Bradley, Gilden, some of those assistants that Jacksonville had down there, I mean, Dom Capers really is revered. What he does defensively, as one scout told you or somebody told you, that if they fired Dom Capers, he'd be picked up the next day.
That's, you know, kind of what that guy said, yep.
Yeah, so I don't know. I caught some criticism on some emails and some tweets from people that basically said, well, what are these people going to say when you ask them about Dom Capers? I get that, but what is anybody going to say in any article written about anything? Everybody comes from some background and is going to have an opinion one way or another. But Dick LeBeau is a Hall of Famer. He coached with Capers. He knows this scheme better than anybody. He knows it works. These two coaches played against each other in a Super Bowl. I think that his opinion matters. I think all these coaches' opinions matter. So for what it's worth, across the league, Dom Capers' colleagues believe that this scheme works, that Dom Capers is one of the best defensive coaches in the game. So then the conversation turns to, well, do they have the personnel to run the scheme? And toward the end of the season, Capers himself said, you can't ask these young players to do too much. Maybe it was a little more vanilla than it's been in the past. Although looking at your numbers, they did blitz about the same amount as they have in years past.
That's right.
But a lot of those blitzes didn't work. I mean, season on the line, they send Jared Bush on a blitz. For whatever reason, he goes inside. There goes Kaepernick. So
yeah,
I do kind of, and we've talked about this a lot, that is, it's more of a player issue, player error at certain spots that they need to fix. One of those positions they have had trouble with for several years now, since they took Clay Matthews in the first round in 09, Capers' first year, finding that other pass rusher. Gone through so many undrafted guys, low-round picks. Nick Perry's a first-round pick, but he hasn't stayed healthy. Again, that search is still on. I mean, we don't know if Nick Perry's the answer there. He's done some good things, but
we don't know if Mike Neal will be re-signed. Right.
Don't know if Mike Neal's going to be re-signed. So down in Mobile, there were a few options, 3-4 outside linebacker options.
Who would you say?
Boy, the player who probably stood out as much as anybody all week was Dee Ford out of Auburn. Mm-hmm. I'm a little undersized for D-end, which is what he played at Auburn. He had 10 sacks, but was really playing through pain all year, he said. Had an injury he was dealing with.
Okay.
But he was active. I mean, he was burning tackles in one-on-one in that tell-all drill often all week. I think that he's a guy who definitely helped himself working in that first round discussion.
He looks like a guy who can drop. Did you see him do any of that?
Yeah, he said that in Auburn's defense, before the season, they had packages where he was going to stand up and he was going to drop and do those kinds of things. Didn't do that a lot during the year. I don't think he did at all. So that's a question mark. And really, that's what it comes down to for Green Bay, is all these players they've auditioned opposite Clay Matthews have been DNs, have been defensive linemen. They haven't made that transition well. They haven't stood up, been rushed well from a two-point stance, covered well. The next player that they add to that position group, you have to think, has to have at least a little bit of linebacker experience. Maybe not.
Yeah.
One of those players would be Marcus Smith, Louisville, a ton of sacks in college. They moved him, talking to Bedford, they moved him to an upright two-point stance more last year. Smith estimated it was about 50-50. Bedford actually said 70-30, that he was standing up. Still got a lot of pressure in their scheme. Moved well. Maybe not as quick, twitch, explosive as a D Ford as some of the other guys. But
did you talk to this Marcus Smith? Yeah.
Yeah. I talked to him.
How was his intelligence level?
Very smart. He was a quarterback in high school. And he came to Louisville as a quarterback himself. But when he saw that Teddy Bridgewater was going to be Teddy Bridgewater, they moved him to defense. And he shines. He's a smart guy. I mean, he kind of sees the game through that quarterback's lens. Definitely helped himself in Mobile.
Okay. You know the Murphy guy from Stanford, Trent Murphy? He's a 4-3 end, right?
Don't know much about him.
Okay. He had a bunch of sacks. Yeah, all right. Okay, any other outside backers? Anybody else ring a bell? Not really, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what Green Bay does there. You know, they have a couple young guys, and Nate Palmer, Malumba. I'm imagining they'll be returning as well.
They got to get a coach first.
They have to get a coach.
Yeah.
They don't have one of those. Well, I don't think I mentioned this in any of the stories, but Jason Gilden, who's familiar with Kevin Green, you know, both Pittsburgh guys before, he heard as well that, yeah, it was a family issue with Kevin Green. Like Green said himself, that he just wanted to spend more time with his kids. And like we talked about on that last podcast a little bit, I mean, or was it this podcast? I'm getting them all confused, Bob. Anyways, the life of an assistant coach is is a tough one. So, I mean, you can understand that. Maybe we don't know the full story here, and they did kind of want to make a change, and there was part of this, part of that went into the decision-making process. But maybe a guy just wants to spend time with his kids before they go to college.
I just think the way Green, you know, he was out of football for about 7 years. I think he was in, maybe he just lived, you know, after his playing career ended. He did some consulting, came in here and there. I think he may have worked in the business world a little bit. But when he took the plunge back into coaching, I mean, I think he put so much of himself into it that he's a great candidate for burnout. And what is he, 51, I believe? I just took it, you know, that he was gone. Now, this was interesting. At the Super Bowl, I talked to Robert Saleh, S-A-L-E-H, quality control guy for Seattle. Been there, oh boy, 6-7 years, I believe. Prior to that, he got his start in the NFL at Houston under Dom Capers. Obviously, he'd like the Green Bay linebacker job. But he also said, he said they got a guy who's been there 8 years, and he's referring to Scott McCurley, who's been came with McCarthy, been here 8 years in quality control, some on-field stuff, a limited amount. But he said a guy like that, he said this could be a great coach, and he's put in 8 years. He says, personally, I'd rather see him get this job.
Wow.
So I think this is a guy, I know it's a big position, but McCurley would not have lasted 8 years if he doesn't have quite a bit of ability. McCarthy would have seen that immediately and made a change. So
absolutely,
I wouldn't rule out Scott McCurley.
Have to think that those announcements will be coming pretty soon.
Yeah.
A lot of other teams have made those announcements. We, you know, as Tom reported for us, I believe it was Tom, Alex Van Pelt will be the quarterback's coach. So
right,
we'll see that as well.
Well, let's talk about Thomas Hammack, okay, of the Badgers, who, you know, had I've heard nothing but good things about this guy as a running back coach at Wisconsin. He's also recruiting coordinator and assistant head coach. So under Gary Anderson, he is way up the line. And he interned in Green Bay this summer on one of those fellowship deals that the program Bill Walsh started 25 years ago. And he also interviewed for a St. Louis job, running back job, a year or two ago. And highly thought of coach. And I figured after the success he had with Ball and Gordon and all these people that the NFL would be all over him. The signing day is February 5, right, Tyler? And I know this is a huge day in college football, and nobody wants to at least announce these people before the 5th for fear of damaging that program's recruiting class. And now the report came up that he's been hired by the Baltimore Ravens. I would imagine Green Bay would have been highly interested in this guy. I don't know that. I mean, they've seen him. He coached with Van Pelt on the field for 3 weeks this summer. They got a great feel for this guy, the success of his players. But anyway, he went to Baltimore today to coach Ray Rice and that bunch. So good luck to Hammett.
Yeah, and we just talked a few days ago on the phone, and I asked him about the possibility of joining Green Bay. He said the internship helped a lot, that he was involved, learned plenty, and that if an NFL team came calling, he would listen. But he reiterated multiple times that he was comfortable at Wisconsin. He really liked it at Wisconsin and said he was not a candidate for the Packers position. Now he's going to Baltimore. So
yeah, it's a matter of semantics, you know.
It is.
But you cannot, these college coaches and programs, I mean, they are deaf on keeping their people before that, until the signing day. Then they can just go willy-nilly, you know. But boy, had Hammack bolted the Badgers even 2, 3, 4 days ago before this signing day. Now, I think in the world of college football, people never forget that.
Right.
It's a big, big factor.
Did a lot of good things with the Badgers. I mean, and I guess while we're talking Senior Bowl too, we can hit on James White. He's the next running back in line. Going to be a lot of questions about this guy's speed. Is he fast enough? He hasn't even run the 40-yard dash since high school. And that's going to be a pretty big day for him in Indianapolis when he has to do that.
Wow.
Highly productive, grew as a receiver this past year, had some, 39 receptions, had good hands in Mobile. Now, the question here is, when you look back at Wisconsin's running backs, how many of them have really brought their success to the NFL?
It's not been good.
It has not been good.
I got an email from a guy yesterday. How about this stat? He noticed where Monty Ball had 6 carries for 1 yard. He said that now gives the University of Wisconsin running backs in 48 Super Bowls 2 yards. Who was the other Badger to carry in a Super Bowl? He was 1 carry for 1 yard. The guy tells me it's Aaron Stecker.
With Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think so.
I mean, when you go back and look, let's look at these Wisconsin running backs, Bob. Brent Moss.
Wow.
Terrell Fletcher. Aaron Stecker. Ron Dane. Michael Bennett. Brian Calhoun. PJ Hill. John Clay. Monty Ball. Out of all of those running backs, you have 1,000-yard season from Michael Bennett in Minnesota. Fletcher, you know, he could catch the ball a little. You know, he was good out of the backfield.
He got hurt, yeah.
Stecker was a decent returner.
Had a heck of a special teams player. Really lasted 10 years, I think.
Right, but when we just talk about running backs,
yeah,
it just hasn't happened at the next level for these guys. And that has to be a concern for teams, is how much of these running back success is based on that offensive line that they have there. They get some of the best offensive linemen in the country, guys that get drafted in the first round year in and year out. Ball had a pretty good rookie season. I know Eddie Lacy and Le'Veon Bell and Giovanni Bernard, they're the headliners in that class, but what do you have, 800 total yards, kind of came on late in the year, so maybe he works out. James White, we'll see. Hammack had a lot of good things to say. He said, he's not that explosive. Not overly fast, but really good vision. And at Senior Bowl week, which is a good sign for where a guy's at against top competition anyways, with some of the seniors coming out, White had a good week. Caught the ball well. Had 60 yards and a touchdown in the game. So we'll see. Any other prospects we should talk about here? Pretty soon. We'll be talking draft.
You want to talk about those two tackles, the kid from Notre Dame and maybe the Ohio State guy? Tyler, Zach Martin and Jack Muir. How about Martin? Did you watch him much in the...
He was probably
the
best player at the Senior Bowl.
In the
Bowl.
Whole Senior Bowl?
Yeah, him or Derek Carr.
Okay.
And boy, at quarterback, Green Bay's got some decisions to make there. Carr, you think about the top of the draft, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, A.J. McCarron, but in that middle group, I don't know who Green Bay would really be targeting there if they want to draft somebody. There's a pretty steep drop-off as you go and move along, and that was really on display in Mobile because outside of Carr, these quarterbacks stunk.
All right. Well, okay, Ty, you saw the Clemson guy, Taj Boyd, 6'3", good size. More like 6'1.5 or so. Any thoughts on Boyd?
Yeah, he was pretty bad. He was probably one of the disappointments of the week. Overthrowing receivers, throwing passes into the dirt. I think one anonymous Packers scout told a draft analyst during the week that he was undraftable, for what that's worth. Now, so, the kid from Eastern Illinois, Garoppolo,
yeah,
pretty good player. Next to Carr, he was probably the best quarterback down there. Maybe he helped himself into, I don't know, third round area.
Who was a former EIU Panther QB, Ty? You got it.
Tony Romo?
You got it, sir.
Okay. Yes, all sir. Right. There you go.
And maybe Mike Shanahan?
No idea.
I think he played there, and then he got hurt, I think, ended his career. All right, Ty, anybody else? How about...
I guess back to the linemen. Yeah, Zach Martin looked really good. Okay. As far as Green Bay is concerned, big question marks. Brian Bulaga coming off his injury. And how does Derek Sherrod figure into things? These are questions that are going to be answered over time, but is there hope for Derek Sherrod? Which is a conversation we've seen to have on this podcast a lot.
I don't really know based on this year. He played 9 snaps. I don't know what to say. He looks great. That's all we can say. Can he play? I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's it. They got Bakhtiari. They got Barclay. They got people. Yeah. Did you look at any how about Aberderis, the wideout from the Badgers? Any thoughts there?
He was pretty good in one-on-ones early in the week. Had an injury, didn't play in the game, and didn't practice in the final practice either, I don't think. But, hey, he seemed like he was pretty good. And, you know, wide receiver is another position that the Green Bay might be looking at. I mean, look at this, the decisions they have to make there. James Jones is a free agent, but then you have Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson up after this next season. Man, those are going to be some tough calls for Green Bay to make. It's the one position Ted Thompson has hit on more than any other. Maybe they like someone in this draft. Keith Williams, who coached James Jones in college at San Jose State, he's now at Tulane. Talked to him for a while and just thought it was interesting. I mean, he said that James Jones was really in a lot of pain this past year. We kind of got that sense. You know, he had the knee injury against Baltimore. Played through it, and then the broken ribs that they keep in touch regularly. He said Jones was a lot of pain. He actually told the story about back in college, one of James Jones's first spring balls suffered a high ankle sprain right before spring practice. Now, that's a serious injury. That keeps guys out 5, 6, 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Played through it all spring football.
Jeez.
Just played through it and ended up having 2-3 really solid seasons there. Got drafted by Green Bay. So that toughness, you kind of have to value that if you're a football team, and we'll see what happens at wide receiver. I don't really know which way Green Bay is leaning there. But yeah, out of this year's draft class at wide receiver, the kid from Wake Forest, got the roster there in front of you.
Campanaro.
Right.
Yep.
Really good week as a slot receiver. Seemed to kind of really find the soft spot.
Small guy, right?
Small. He's a small receiver, but had a really good week. Robert Heron out of Wyoming had a good week. Jordan Matthews was probably the best wide receiver down there. He'll be drafted in the first couple of rounds, you would think. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So people were disappointed in the talent level that showed up this year, right? With all these top seniors gone.
That's
missing,
Yeah, that's what teams were saying. Okay. Off the record, that this was one of the weaker senior groups because so many underclassmen are declaring and because a lot of the seniors turned the game down. But as far as Green Bay is concerned, we talked about the safeties, the wide receivers. They have looked to the Senior Bowl, I guess, as a tool years past. Dayton Jones had a really good week down there, last year.
In the one-on-ones.
In the one-on-ones. So maybe they did see something down there that they liked.
Sure.
All right, well, let's get to a few questions before we sign off, Bob.
What do we got from the gang?
Adam Zek asks,
"What's Adam?
Have you guys heard about the Packers attempting anything different to avoid yet another injury pandemic in 2014?
A pandemic?
It was pretty bad.
Have I? No. How about you?
Well, they sure tried a lot this past year. Changing practice times.
The music.
Adding the breaks, the music, things in the cafeteria. Nothing really seemed to work.
We've had no changes in staff, medical, strength, training.
Right.
Nothing that we're aware of there.
I mean, Mike McCarthy basically several times just kind of had to hold his hands up in the air. I don't think he knows. Nobody really knows what the problem is. A lot of hamstring injuries, a lot of different types of injuries. So, sorry, no answer for you there. Oh, Kyle Cousineau. This is from our last podcast. Yes, why does Bob hate Bart Starr so much? Well, you talked about it for a good 20 minutes on the last one.
Do we got to get to this again? No. Come on, Kyle. I don't take anything
personal. Oh, come on. Give it to him, Kyle. I'm good friends with Kyle. He sent me a text message when that story dropped. He was not happy. He was not happy, Bob.
How old is Kyle?
Oh, boy.
Born after 1980?
He's going to kill me. Nah, he might be close. Right around there. 31, 32. Getting married. Congratulations to Kyle. Getting hitched. And he's giving it to you.
He is. Check that previous pod, Kai. Catch you later, pal.
Okay, I like this one. Andrew Hetzel asks, Seattle has the LOB, Legion of Boom. What nickname would you give Green Bay's current secondary? I'm not answering it.
Yeah, I don't know. When I talked to the Denver secondary coach, Corey Unlin, and we're discussing safeties and all this kind of thing, when I mentioned Green Bay did not have a safety, get a pick in 17 games, he just shook his head and went, wow. Wow.
Is that right?
Yeah. Just couldn't believe it.
Thad Collins, a New York City guy himself, asks, how do the Packers work toward building new front office faces, especially as they move on? Who should fans start noticing? Schneider, McKenzie, Dorsey, they've all left.
So now they got Wolf, Highsmith, Gutekunst, Terry, right. And then all the area guys, Seal et al. Ted's very happy with the staff. He said it several times.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for us here. I don't have your song ready to go here, Bob.
Well, we got to get back to the Bellamy boys.
All right.
Let's. I think we got to talk till this thing comes up, Tyler.
What is it? Redneck Lady, Redneck Girl?
Redneck Girl by Howard and David Bellamy.
Okay. No lie, in Mobile, you can't escape the country music.
Yeah.
I never knew there was a song where chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco, spit. Then, that's what it's come to for country music?
Hey, I'm liking the older stuff better than the newer stuff, all right?
If you say so. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.